Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Friday, June the 8th. A very warm day here in North Texas. What else can we say? Well, today, we're going to talk a little bit about President Trump up at the G7 or G6, whatever they call it, up in their meeting in Canada, I believe. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. He's getting a little bit of flack from Prime Minister Trudeau and President Macron of France, Prime Minister Trudeau of Canada. And the way I look at it, I don't think this is really about the issue on hand. I think this is, I think these two leaders are trying to play a little politics with President Trump. They're both having problems at home, whether it's Trudeau or Macron. They're having serious problems at home. So I think that's where a lot of this is coming from. We have a post coming out this weekend about NAFTA and what is happening to NAFTA in Mexico, where there is a growing resentment to NAFTA. And it's really coming from the agricultural sector, where many Mexicans feel that NAFTA has done a lot of harm to the Mexican agricultural sector. And frankly, to some extent, it has. So we'll have a few thoughts on that. And Senator Flake of Arizona, I just went to Cuba. I have a post about this over at the American Thinker today. And, you know, I find it troubling when U.S. senators or congressmen go to Cuba and do not speak frankly to the Cuban government about their lack of freedom, their lack of freedom of press, and so on. I mean, it seems to me that when you just go down there and take all these nice photos with the leaders of Cuba, you're legitimizing a regime that is not democratic, a regime that does not represent the wishes of the Cuban people. And I just wish that we had more people who were willing to stand up to the regime rather than just go down there and pretend that, hey, everything's fine, everything's cool with our neighbor. Well, it's not. Things are not cool in Cuba. Things are actually quite bad in Cuba. But we begin with the breaking story of the day, which is Charles Krauthammer. As you may have heard, Charles Krauthammer was ill, very ill. He was, in fact, away from the television panels for about a year. And a lot of us were hoping, frankly, that he would come back. And every once in a while, we would get updates from Bret Baier about what is happening to Charles Krauthammer. And I know I can speak for me and lots of my friends who kept wondering, wow, when is he going to come back? You know, when is he going to come back? We really miss his insight, you know, his contributions in Fox News. Well, we learned today that he's not coming back. Charles Krauthammer announced today in a letter to his colleagues and to his fans like me that he's in very bad health and basically has a few weeks to live. I don't know exactly all the details of his health. As I understand it, it's cancer, but I'm not specific as to what kind it is. You know, Dr. Krauthammer, of course, has been disabled for a big chunk of his adult life. He suffered a swimming pool accident, when he was a young man and has been on a wheelchair for much of his adult life. He's actually a trained psychiatrist, which I always thought gave him great insight into political figures. And then he went into politics and became, like I say, one of the very best political analysts on television. We're going to miss him a great deal. And here in the last two or three weeks of his life, as he himself indicated, I mean, I don't know how much contact or how able he is to know what's going on around him. Sometimes people in these conditions are under medication. But anyway, we're really hoping that he recovers. We're really hoping that at least these last two or three weeks of his life are as pain-free as possible. And for his wife and for his son, obviously, our best wishes and sympathies. And what a great man, Charles Krauthammer, just an absolutely wonderful man, who was not just a great analyst, a great thinker, but by all accounts, he was a very nice person, if you talk to anybody who knew him well. So very sad news about Charles Krauthammer. Well, the president is up in Canada. He's on his way to Singapore, where he's going to meet the leader of North Korea. And he ran into a little bit of flack up there from Prime Minister Trudeau over trade and from the president of France over the Paris Climate Change Accords or whatever. And frankly, it's just a smokescreen. I mean, there's nothing going. There's nothing for President Trump to do. With respect to NAFTA, we're negotiating NAFTA, and he's simply holding out for a better deal. That's all he's doing. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. NAFTA has been around for 25 years. And as I mentioned in an upcoming post coming out this weekend, NAFTA has a lot of problems in Mexico. There's a lot of opposition to NAFTA in Mexico. I supported NAFTA when it happened 25 years ago. I thought it was a good step in the right direction. But we now have been, this deal has now been in effect for 25 years. I think that it probably has not done Mexico as much good as it has done the United States or Canada. I think we can safely say that. In some ways, it's been good for Mexico, but I don't think in other ways it has been. So it's okay to renegotiate it. I don't see what the big deal is. But, of course, Prime Minister Trudeau is upset with some of the tariffs that President Trump was to impose on Canada. Well, the problem is that Canada imposes tariffs on American products. So, I mean, it's just not a two-way street here. And I think that the Canadians should be willing to do away with all the tariffs. And I think if they do, then I think that would be a much better trade deal. So there's a lot of negotiation going on. I wouldn't jump to conclusions that it's over, but just see it as a negotiation and nothing more than that. But as far as Prime Minister Trudeau, he's got some problems back home. There's a lot of Canadians who are not that crazy about Trudeau anymore. I think his little act, you know, political correctness and being, you know, this gentle man or whatever, I think a lot of it is wearing thin with Canadians who are not that crazy about their prime minister. Now, over in France, President Macron, he's having a lot of political problems as well. So, picking a fight with Trump is probably good politics for both Trudeau and Macron. And I think that's what's behind all of this. I really don't think it has anything to do with specific issues, whether it's trade or the climate change deal. Look, President Macron has got to know that the deal that he negotiated with President Obama was not a deal. It was just an agreement between the President of the United States and these other countries. But it was never formally a deal because President Obama never brought it back here for treaty ratification. And, you know, an agreement that a president signs with another country is absolutely meaningless because it has no enforcement mechanism. There's no way to enforce it. So Macron has to know that. So I think that what you're seeing, again, from both Prime Minister Trudeau and President Macron, they're just beating up on Bush for internal consumption. Obviously, beating up on Trump in Canada is good for the Canadian liberals, and beating up on Trump in France is good for the Europeans and so on. So I don't think it's anything more than that. This is all going to pass, and in a couple of days we'll be talking about North Korea, which is, by the way, that's the story. That's the story that we're going to be talking about, hopefully for several years. We're going to take a little break. We're going to hear from my friend Carlos Geddes, and then we'll be right back.
This is Carlos Geddes Harpies. I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Tzatziki's at the Star, located at 6765 Winning Drive in Frisco. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy music at 6:30 until 9:30 p.m. Make your reservation today at 972-377-2276. Remember, Tzatziki's at the Star is the place to hang out on Saturday night. For upcoming dates, look for me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And we have a link to Carlos' schedule on the show information. So check that out and go around town and follow him around as he plays in different places. Well, we say happy number 78 to Nancy Sinatra. Hard to believe she's 78. But I tell you, if you look at some of the videos over at YouTube, man, she was one good-looking young woman back in the late 60s. I mean, there are some videos. I mean, she had a great figure. I didn't realize all of this until I looked at some of those videos, but she was one very, very good-looking young woman back in the 1970s, 60s, really more 60s and 70s. I don't think she went that much into the 70s, but of course she had a big hit called "This Boots Are Made for Walking," and then she had a big hit with her father, "Something Stupid," and then she had a few hits with her husband too, Lee Hazlewood. And I think a lot of those hits kind of crossed over to country because Lee Hazlewood was a very popular country singer. So happy number 78 to Nancy Sinatra. Well, we mentioned that Senator Flake went down to Cuba. Senator Flake from Arizona was down in Cuba. And he went down there with a businessman. I guess maybe it's a businessman from Arizona. I'm not sure about the particulars, but sometimes, you know, senators travel with business people to promote their state business and all of that. So I'm okay with that. I understand that's what happens. But the businessman was down in Cuba because he wanted to persuade the Cuban government that, you know, there should be more internet connectivity in Cuba, you know, more people connected to the internet. That's one of the problems in Cuba, is that the internet is very expensive and it has very limited connections. And the new president of Cuba, who I did not know, was apparently a systems engineer in a previous life, told Senator Flake that, yes, of course, he believes that there should be more connections in Cuba, and he understands the benefits of having more people connected to the internet. The problem is that internet freedom or internet connections in Cuba are not in the interest of a one-party dictatorship like this one. Because if you connect people in Cuba, if you connect people through the internet, if you allow, for example, someone to do a radio show on the internet, as I'm doing right now, if you allow someone to publish a newspaper online, as many people do, if you allow people to tweet each other, let's say, where they're going to be or where they're going to hold a demonstration or through Facebook, whatever it may be. You know, once you open up this door, it's very difficult to control your country. I mean, we've had some experiences up here like that, where young people basically communicate to each other and hey, we're all going to meet over here at 5 o'clock and have a demonstration. And they show up. Well, that's an incredible power in the hands of the citizen to be able to do that. And I just don't see Cuba under any circumstances, frankly, supporting something like this, because, as I say, they lose a lot of their control over the population when they do something like that. There is another economic reality, too, when it comes to having internet in Cuba or internet connectivity in Cuba, and that is that the Cuban people cannot afford it. I mean, one of the things that the Cuban Revolution, or the so-called Cuban Revolution, I never called it a revolution, but they call it a revolution. But one of the things that I rather call it the Cuban dictatorship. One of the things that the Cuban dictatorship has done to Cuba, it has completely destroyed the standard of living of the average Cubans. You know, prior to Castro, Cuba had a very high per capita income. In fact, the third or fourth highest in the entire Latin American continent. Only Argentina, Brazil, and Chile, I think, had a higher number. Well, Cuba was up there. Cuba was a very prosperous country. Unfortunately, it is not like that today. Cuba is a very poor country. A lot of the more ambitious and entrepreneurial Cubans have left the country. And so it's a very bad situation that the country's in. So in theory, I think the Cuban government is going to say, yes, we believe in increasing internet connectivity because we understand the benefits of it. In practice, though, I don't see it happening. Now, you may have it in hotels where, you know, tourists will be able to access the internet. I've heard that can happen, but I've also heard from other people who've been to Cuba that internet connection sometimes it's a nightmare in Cuba. You know, there was a religious person who went to Cuba who was telling me that he stayed in a home with other religious people in Cuba, and the internet was a disaster. I mean, they could barely get it going within Cuba. And then on top of that, if you want to have international access or whatever through satellites, a lot of that just doesn't work in Cuba. So whatever the wishes of the Cuban government may be, or whatever they told Senator Flake about internet connectivity, the bottom line is they're not going to do it, because they're not going to give the Cuban people the kinds of freedom that come from internet usage. So I just wish that Senator Flake had gone down to Cuba, and rather than, you know, have all these pictures taken with a new leader and, in a sense, legitimize the new leadership, I wish he had gone there and said, look, you know, you got to have more freedom. You got to have free market reforms if you want us to work with you here in the United States. I wish he had done that. But unfortunately, he didn't. And, nothing happened from this trip by Senator Flake to Cuba.
I would like-
Oops. I got the wrong one right there. Sorry about that. We've already heard that one. Well, thank you for listening, folks. Have a wonderful weekend. Have a great weekend. And we'll get together on Monday again. Have a very good weekend. And if you're in the Texas area, it's kind of hot here, so I hope you are maybe going out for a swim today or this weekend. Bye-bye, everybody. This is Silvio Cantu in Dallas.